Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, your host from over at FanRagSports.com. No Trevor Sikkema today. He is moving. So Godspeed to Trevor as he moves. He's not moving far. He's just moving closer to a different spot around Tampa, basically closer to the stadium so that he doesn't have to travel as far to see the Bucs lose. But have no fear, folks. In his stead, we have a wonderful guest that I'm really excited to have on the show because he brings a wealth of expertise in an area that I cannot in the mathematics world and in some of the some analytics and things of that nature. Today, we're going to be talking about mock drafts as it relates to that. His name is Kent Lee Platy, and he does awesome work for PrideOfDetroit.com. He is a Lions guy. Shout out to the Lions, 6-6 in your playoff hopes. Hanging in there, Kent. How are you tonight? And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I'm great, thank you. And I'm actually hoping that they beat the Bucs soon.
Yes, that's true. It's going to be key for the Lions and a couple other of those playoff teams. I know are zeroing in on the Bucs because Trevor was lamenting the fact that they have to play a bunch of desperate teams over the last month of the schedule, which probably won't be fun for the Bucs or Bucs fans. But Kent, you were keeping track of something that is blowing my mind. You were keeping track of mock drafts from the time that this past year's draft ended until now, updating them. It sounded like when I was talking to you, like every week, updating them based on mock drafts that you see all over the web, and you are keeping track of a million different things as it relates to mock drafts. But one of the things, obviously, is, and you're keeping track of all these mock drafts, it's which player is most often appears in these mock drafts. That's just one of the many, many things. How high they've appeared in a mock draft, the lowest point you've seen them in a mock draft, a million other pieces of data that we're going to get to. But let's start there if we can, because Saquon Barkley, as we look at it, you've kept track of 248 mock drafts, which is insane. 248 mock drafts just to this point, and you already said they're heating up and you're getting like five or six a day. So if Barkley is on 247 of those, and you told me the one he's not on was an all-defensive one, the highest you've seen him is number one overall, the lowest is number 22 overall. Saquon Barkley is getting a ton of love in these mock drafts.
Yeah, and it's never stopped. You know, he was on the first mock draft that I did, and as you said, he's been on every one except for the one that didn't have any offensive players on it. But that 22 that he got was way back in May, and or I think it might have been June, but way, you know, months and months ago, and he's been in the top five just forever, it seems like.
Yeah. Derwin James is another one. You said he just declared, so he'll officially be in. He's been in 246 of these things. So Derwin's been in almost every single one as well. Safety from Florida State, like I said, just declared. Trevor and I talked about him yesterday. We talked about our thoughts on him declaring. If you guys want to go back and listen on the podcast, you can check that out on Thursday's episode. You've seen him as low as 32, as high as number one. In there's been a couple other defensive players in that mix as well, right? You seeing Derwin, has there been any change with that, or with Derwin, with Arden Key, Minka Fitzpatrick, some of these other guys that you're commonly seeing at the top, who's had maybe on the defensive side of the ball at least? Because I think offensively we kind of can see who's been picked high, but I will get to a couple of the surprises. Has there been any change really with a lot of these defensive guys as you've seen from maybe right after last year's draft ended to where we are now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Derwin's actually a good one to bring up because he started out very high and then he started to drop a bit as the season was going on. And it's been recently he started to kind of jump back up a little bit. I'm not sure if that's a trend or just a blip yet, but he started really high and then and started to tail off a little bit. You kind of saw the same thing from Harold Landry from Boston College. But you've also seen the reverse. Bradley Chubb, you know, he had a few where he was ranked really high, but he was generally mid to late first round when it first started. And I entered one today where he was the number one overall pick. Wow. And you generally see him in the top five, top 10 now.
Wow.
So it's been neat to kind of track that. And I don't have all of the individual player position stuff up on here yet. It's been interesting to see how these guys have moved around and guys that have dropped off completely, guys that came out of nowhere and they're just in every mock now. There's a lot of guys that are moving as the season goes on.
Right. I'm taking all this in as you're talking about it and thinking as someone who this project is fascinating to me. As soon as you told me about it and sent me this sheet, I was just like, dude, can you come on the podcast and talk about this? Because I have so many questions. I have so many things when I want to ask, and I think it's so cool. But I should have probably started with this question. What do you hope really to gain from a project like this above all else, just so listeners kind of know where you're coming from, what is the knowledge or maybe data trending, whatever it might be that you're hoping to gain? What inspired you to maybe start this project?
Sure, I'll actually start right there where I started with this. So I've been doing this for a few years, and it started out originally, you know, people do mock draft roundups when the draft gets a little bit closer, and they find, you know, a handful of drafts, maybe 20 or 30 even, to just show, oh, here's kind of the people who are mocked the most. So it kind of started out like that. 2 years ago, I wanted to do as many as I could, so I got around 200 or so in 2016. And what ended up being interesting was the way the Lions rolled out, because the Lions' number one most mocked player was Taylor Decker, and the number two was A'shaun Robinson, who the Lions picked up in the second round. So I found that really interesting, but again, you know, it's not going to be predictive; it's just coincidental.
Right.
2017, I tracked over 500 mock drafts in 2017. The most mocked person to the Lion was actually Hassan Reddick, but the most mocked player at the end of the draft, right before the draft, was Jared Davis, and it started that the beginning of that last month before the draft, and it just accelerated, and it was just more and more him. So again, the mock drafts aren't going to be predictive. There's no way that you're going to look at mock drafts that are written by, you know, anybody can write a mock draft.
Right.
You're going to say, oh, this is going to predict stuff. But I feel like mock drafts, the idea behind mock drafts and where people are slotting these players, that's all based on public perception of a player's value. What I'm hoping to gain by doing this and by putting all this work into it is trying to figure out if whatever we use to make mock drafts as a collective consciousness among the draft community, if that is influenced by the player's actual value, how the players end up going in the draft. And I feel like being able to show the players that have kind of fallen off in favor, the players that have kind of sped up and gotten more and more value as it comes closer to the draft, I think being able to show that, we can start to look at mock drafts in the future and get a good idea of what draft day might look like just by the way that the public perception of those players' value is.
Yeah, at least in terms of where players fall, even if they maybe aren't matching team to player correctly. Is that kind of what you're thinking, just in terms of who might actually be selected in the first round?
Exactly, because there's teams that just drafted a running back. I think it might have been the Jaguars or one of the teams that just drafted a running back high still had somebody mocking a running back to them on here, because some people don't actually look at the teams and their roster. Some people just throw them based on what they know, the players, the names that they know, that perceived value.
Right. That's really interesting. Yeah. There's so much that goes into this and so much that kind of can be learned from it. And I'm sure you, as like with any good math person, you keep this open mind and go into it and say, all the information that I can glean from this, I'm going to glean basically. And like you said, it's weird. It's kind of been a little bit predictive for the Lions. I don't think you were expected to be that way for 32 different teams, but
no. It
would be fun to look back after the draft occurs and see, oh, this guy ended up going here. And, you know, the vast majority of people over the past year have thought that he would end up there, you know, or he was the most commonly mocked player there, or vice versa. You know, five mock drafts out of however many had this happen, and, you know, just kind of seeing how far off people were on that. I think that stuff, even if there's not necessarily something to learn from that part of it as much, maybe it's just like it's a fun thing for people to look and see, wow, no one saw that coming. And we can all say that about a player and a prospect, but now you have the data to literally back up, like, wow, literally nobody saw this coming, this fit. So I think that's a really cool part of it. So I'm looking at the positions that you have that you've charted going in the first round, and I'm seeing 13 different quarterbacks. Right, I'm reading that correctly. 13 different quarterbacks have been mocked into the first round.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Surprisingly,
is there one that stands out as like, wow, I can't believe that this guy got drafted? Because this guy got mocked in the first round based on something you've seen, or just nobody else had him in the first round, or anything like that.
Well, Mike White from Western Kentucky was only mocked once out of the 248 mocks. But you have the guys that really stand out. You know, your Josh Rosen, Sam Darnolds. You know, those guys that have been mocked just a million times. Those guys are all obvious. But like Baker Mayfield, nobody was drafting him in the first round early in the season. He's only just recently started to come on, and now almost all the mock drafts have on him. Huh. You know, the reverse is true for Luke Falk. He used to be drafted or mocked in the first round very early all the time. Now you never see him in the first round. Huh.
Very indicative of how their seasons and how generally the media is kind of set forth okay, Baker Mayfield, he's a Heisman, obviously, candidate and everything like that. And so you see him rising up as a result of that. And Luke Falk has had a really bad season. I think he was benched twice for Washington State. Yep. I've been critical of him on the podcast. So, you know, maybe people listen there and they heard, you know, oh, things are trending down with this guy and trending up with Mayfield. And so that makes for a really interesting discovery. Now, I saw in there Lamar Jackson's actually been mocked a good bit in the first round from what you've seen.
He has. Now, as you know, any of your listeners are going to know, that's one of the more polarizing players in this draft. There are some people that don't think he's even a quarterback, you know. But what's funny with Lamar Jackson is all the mock drafts kind of play that out. You know, there's a lot of them that don't do it, don't mention him at all. There's a lot of them that he's off. You know, he's on 167 of them out of 248, so there's like 80 that he's not on.
Right.
But at the same time, you have him all the way up at that first overall very early in the season. You still have that late in the season, but you also have people both back then and now who don't even have him on the mock. he's been one of the more interesting ones to follow because there's such a divide on where people think he's going to go and what his value is. And it's exactly how we feel when we're talking about him on Twitter and social media, that there's this big divide, and it's played out that way.
I think it's so interesting to see how that personified by data, like to know that it's that polarizing and that interesting, you know, kind of where that could all come down with Lamar Jackson. And so I find that really interesting that there's that type of difference on him, you know, still being thought of highly by some and not being thought of at all by others. And it's going to make for fascinating discussion around him as we get closer. Quentin Nelson is in 206 of these mock drafts as a guard.
Yes.
206 out of 248.
And look at where his highest mock is.
He's been all the way up there at number one.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I know you just started doing this, but I cannot imagine that many guards have ever been mock number. I mean, mocks are crazy, but I can't imagine many guards have been mock number one. That's pretty wild.
I can't think of a guard I've ever even thought was ever considered that highly. Right. You know, in previous years, I've only done it for the Lions, and the Lions haven't been mocked a whole lot of interior linemen. Because they've had so many other needs in different spots. But I it's like you said, I can't imagine seeing a guard on this many mock drafts.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting because I think he has a chance to go higher than most guards would, but one overall would be wild. But it does seem like the consensus on him right now is still strongly in the first round, which I know a lot of people think, oh, he's a guard. Will he fall out of the first round because of that? So nice to know that. How about Malik Jefferson? He's a polarizing player in this class. Linebacker from Texas. Yeah, I see that he's been as high as number four, but is also as low as number 32, and he's been mocked in the first round of 161 of your 248 mocks. Is that moved a lot with him? Has there been any movement with him over throughout the season?
It has. It's been dropping pretty steadily since the preseason. He was in about 85% of the mocks back in the preseason, and that's dropped to 72, 66, 46, and he's only in 32% now of the mock drafts. He's been tailing off ever since the preseason. And it's kind of been how his season has gone and how other players have jumped up. Roquan Smith is a good example of a player that's just had the opposite effect. And anytime you have, you know, a linebacker that's really strong one way or the other, unless they're a really special player, you know, that anybody else jumps up, that's going to kick somebody else off.
Right. Yeah, that's fascinating. How about with the tight ends? Any movement there with any of the tight end guys? I know that this year we're coming off a group that three were drafted in the first round, and there was all this buzz about those guys and a couple others that ended up going later in the class. And this year, everybody's kind of like, who are the guys so far? What's your tight end data looked like so far?
So there's only been like six tight ends that have been drafted or mocked in the first round. So far, it's pretty overwhelmingly in favor of Mark Andrews from Oklahoma. He's the number one tight end. He's been mocked only in 40 of them, though. You know, it really is nothing like last year where there was, like you said, several guys that were getting mocked in the first. But between Andrews and Mike Gesicki, they're really the only ones that have been mocked fairly consistently, as close as you can get to that, and it's not even that large of a percentage.
Yeah.
But after that, you know, there's Dallas Goedert and a couple other guys, but there really hasn't been they're not on enough mocks to really get a good idea of where their value is in the first round if we're considering them first rounders.
Right. That's really interesting, and I know I want to move to teams because I have some questions about specific teams for you and what they do. But first, can I ask you about offensive tackles? Because I think this class, everybody's kind of like, man, this is a bad offensive tackle class. You know, teams may have to reach for one if they want one, and there may not be a guy of value for the top 10, things of that nature. You know, I think the conversations have gone along that way. Now, Connor Williams is coming out for the draft, so I think a lot of people view him as the OT1. I would imagine mock drafts reflect that. Have you seen that with Connor Williams? Is he the guy most commonly being mocked really high in the first round, or what's the story been there with offensive tackles so far?
So it's actually funny. I'm glad that you mentioned it because I wanted to bring this up because I of course listen to your podcast pretty regularly, but you guys had mentioned on I think it was week before last, maybe it might have been last week, about how because of the dearth of talent in this class with the offensive tackles that you're going to start seeing guys like Colton Miller drafted in the first round, and that's exactly what we've been seeing. I see guys pop up that I don't even recognize their names when I first see them, and I'm just like, well, I guess they're just trying to fill in holes. Somebody needs a tackle, so they got to grab somebody. The most mock tackle is still Mike McGlinchey. I feel like that might start to go down a little bit. Just because Connor Williams' stock has been kind of going up. Orlando Brown, when he's mocked, tends to be mocked fairly high. But, you know, it really is just a talent thing with tackles. And it was the same way looking at the previous years. When teams need offensive tackles, people tend to mock them there, whether the talent's really there.
Right. That's interesting.
I think we're going to get at least one. If we do have a surprise draft in the first round, a guy that we don't expect to be there, I think it might be somebody from the tackle class.
It seems like looking at your numbers there that it's decently spread out. And I even saw Desmond Harrison from West Georgia got tossed into the first round in a mock draft. He's going to Mobile in the Senior Bowl. So we'll see if he lives up to those expectations from one mock drafter anyway. The Browns, let's talk about them because one of the other awesome parts of this project is you've also looked at a bunch of every team in the NFL, and you've seen, okay, what position is most commonly mocked to this team? And I think that's going to be fascinating to look back on after the draft and say, oh, you know, this many teams, you know, this many people mocked the Browns a running back in the first round, and it turned out not to be that way at all, you know, and they didn't draft a running back in the first round, or the overwhelming consensus was quarterback for the Browns, for example, and they didn't end up drafting a quarterback. So it could be interesting to look at those kind of things with different teams after the draft passes. But you've had, out of the 248 mock drafts, 152 give the Browns a quarterback. Does that seem low or high to you? Because that's about 100 that don't have it, and I would feel like it seems pretty obvious, right? But I guess back when they started, people thought Kaiser was there, so maybe not.
Right, but you got to remember, too, they have two picks in the first round. That 152, that's 152 out of almost 500 picks because they have two picks in the first round. I've got 248, so that's almost 500 picks, and they've only taken a quarterback 152 of those.
Wow.
So that's really low for me. That seems insane that so few people would be considering them getting a quarterback. I think it might be impacted a little bit by the fact that they took Kaiser, and you have those preseason mocks that people were saying, well, they just drafted Kaiser, so they're not going to draft somebody in the first round. But until I get all the data around for the monthly counts for those and start looking at how it's trended over time, I'm not really going to see that, but even then, that's still pretty low.
Right. Yeah, it's surprising to me. And the 49ers, I mean, the story with them has changed. So I think, you know, 114 people mocking them a quarterback seems to be a little bit off now at this point because they've acquired Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm sure it's changed dramatically since then. What other positions have you seen pop up a lot for the 49ers?
They've had a lot of running backs mocked to them, and by a lot of running backs, I mean exactly Saquon Barkley. If you look at the counts right there, they've had 73 running backs mocked to them, and all of them are Saquon Barkley. So,
very interesting.
Teams, you know, their draft slotting was pretty much locked in at 1-2 or 3 overall for a vast majority of the preseason and coming into the season. People had very low hopes for the 49ers. And now it seems like just the general consensus is that they're going to draft Saquon Barkley with that pick.
It's funny because you think about the Shanahans and you think about the history there with his dad more so than Cal maybe, but they could find running backs anywhere. You know, they never prioritized him really high. It never seemed like, so it's funny that people kind of throwing Barkley to them like that. I'm seeing now your count for them, 114 quarterbacks, and then I'm sure since trading for Garoppolo, that number's gone down significantly. 73 running backs, and that's really, I mean, there's a couple, 17 tackles, 17 mock drafts haven't taken a tackle, 13 a corner, but that's it. I mean, that's even for the double digits, you know, that's it. I mean, it's pretty crazy how overwhelmingly people think 49ers are going running back. I think the 49ers really control the draft as long as they stay at 2 or 3. Now they might start winning with Garoppolo in the lineup, but as long as they stay in that range, I feel like they control things because teams that need a quarterback kind of trade up to that, could want to trade up to that spot, and they could control how things go. One of those teams that may need a quarterback could be the Giants, and the Giants are kind of being in that 2, 3, 4 range too, more than likely, the way their season's played out so far. 98 mock drafts so far taking a quarterback for the Giants. Does that surprise you at all, or just given you think a lot of those are recent, given the kind of the tumultuousness surrounding Eli Manning and his situation there, perhaps, or whatever it might be?
You only had a few mock drafts that were taken, having the Giants taking a quarterback early overall. So it has been more of a recent development that they're getting a lot of these quarterbacks. But it's also been a little bit more recent that people were mocking them so high. You know, that the beginning of the preseason, people didn't think the Giants were going to be this bad. People didn't think at all that they were going to be that bad. Right. I think they were generally drafting in the 20s. So it's part of that too, is that people didn't realize they were going to be that bad, and they just were.
Right. Got to pick a couple more teams for you because I'm so amazed by this project in general, and just like what all it can, the information all can give you. The Bills are, the results on here are crazy to me, fascinating to me. 88 drafting a quarterback for the Bills, but 100 mock drafts giving the Bills a wide receiver. It seems like that's a lot of mock drafts. And again, the Bills are another one of those with 2 first-round picks. And maybe that throws off the number some, but take that into consideration in the 88 quarterbacks. Man, that seems really small.
Teams realize they need some weapons on offense. You know, yeah. they need somebody to throw the ball, and they need somebody to catch it.
Right.
You know, they're a team, and that 6 tight ends being mocked to them doesn't seem like that much. But again, there aren't a lot of tight ends getting mocked in the first round. So there's a pass catcher need for the Bills that people think they need to fill. And I think they might be one of the ones there where it was generally their first pick where they were getting a wide receiver, and it was their second one they were getting a quarterback. I might be wrong on that. I haven't looked at those numbers in a little bit.
Huh, that's interesting. I thought this was funny when I looked through, and I think things will look funny now that the season's underway. Yeah. Five people mocking a quarterback to the Rams. they were counting those chickens before they hatched, I think, a little bit. I think you'll see that trend die out. I'm sure it already has.
You only get 1 year. If you're bad after year one, you're done.
That's right. That's it. Players can't grow. They can't change. Nobody's mocking a quarterback to the Lions. Nobody at all. What are you seeing for the Lions? I know you're a Lions guy. You've probably got some thoughts on this. What are you seeing for the Lions so far?
Yeah, it's 147 of the mock drafts are giving the Lions some kind of pass rusher. Huh. So that's obviously the biggest need there. You know, that's the other 100 break it out between running backs, mostly Darius Geis, and then a couple of other positions. But in general, the team needs a pass rusher in a really bad way, and teams, mock drafters are just throwing them whoever they can.
Right. That's awesome. I would say the same thing. So it's cool to see, okay, that's, you know, if I'm doing a mock draft and I have this information available to me, I'm going to say, you know, because a lot of people have maybe a closer eye on, especially Lions people, you know, where are they having the biggest need? What, you know, people that have watched them all season. So to see that many people zeroing in, okay, this is clearly the big need. Now I have watched a good bit of Lions this season, so I would concur with that. Although I think Zettel's been impressive and some others, you know, if Fonsa moves on, I would concur with that type of that mocking. The Packers, this caught my eye. I don't know why, but 4 people mocking them a quarterback?
Yeah, that's a thing that happens.
I don't understand. Do they think Rodgers' collarbone will never heal?
I feel like it might be that. And 3 of those were Baker Mayfield, and one of them was Josh Allen. So I think what it might be is just like you said, people are thinking that, oh, well, Rodgers is done now. That's what, his second or third collarbone injury. We're just going to write him off completely. But they've won enough games that they're not going to be drafting early in the first round. So we may as well give him one of the other guys that's fallen to him.
Right, right. The Vikings have one of the weirdest situations that I can remember a team having, because there are 3 quarterbacks who have all played at high levels at various points there. Case Keenum playing at a high level now. And all, they're going to have contract situations with them at the end of the season. They're going to have, somebody's going to be back. Somebody's going to be somewhere. Still have 21 people giving the Vikings a quarterback. I don't know what, if they were thinking Sam would be gone and Keenum wouldn't do this and Bridgewater would never play again at the beginning of the season or what. What have you seen with the Vikings draft analysis so far?
Yeah, this was one where the team was still drafting fairly low in the first round, and a lot of people were giving them Lamar Jackson in the first. Mm-hmm. And Mason Rudolph for some reason. I'm not sure why that one is going on. But I feel like it's there's so much uncertainty there that people are just like, whatever, they're going to draft a quarterback. They need a quarterback now. They're just going to get one. It's almost a scorched earth philosophy for that. They just got to get somebody. The one that's been interesting with the Vikings is how much they've tailed off on tackles. Tackles was one of the big needs that people thought they had at the beginning of the season, but that's tailed off quite a bit now with Reef and Remmers playing at a pretty good level.
Right. I have to ask you about two teams before we wrap up. I have to ask you about the Buccaneers for Trevor, because I know he's going to be curious as to what you think there. The Bucs draft situation and draft, first of all, where they have been projected to draft, I'm sure has changed a lot, because not that people thought they'd be the top team in the NFC or anything, but I think there were some people who thought they'd be a playoff team, added all those weapons on offense, got more talented there. Now obviously that's trended down. They could be picking top five. They're going to be picking high for sure. They could very easily lose out, finish 4-12. This is a team that is for sure locked into the top of the draft at this point. Have you seen anything change in regards to not only where they're drafting, but who they might be drafting, what position they might be drafting?
Yeah, people have kind of had the idea that they need to get a pass rusher, and that's generally remained the same. But like you said, their average draft position right now is about 13, between 13 and 14. So they're averaging in the top half, and I think that might be just like you said. People thought they were going to have a lot more wins than they were, and they've just not delivered. So they're drafting so much higher in the first round. There is a big need for pass rusher and both interior and outside, mostly outside at edge, but people still see those needs in the secondary. I think they've been drafted safeties more than any other team, I think.
Wow.
But they've got a lot of corners, but we've got a lot of corners in the draft, so
right.
there's a lot of them.
Oh my goodness. We could talk forever on this. I got to ask you about the Steelers before I wrap up. Got a lot of Steelers listeners, I know. They're probably consistently mocked pretty low, and they've kind of played to that, and they'll probably be drafting low. What have you seen there in terms of position, but also in terms of player that could be headed to Pittsburgh?
So the Steelers are pretty well spread out in terms of positions. And what I've found with that is the teams that are spread out so much is the teams that are perceived to be very good. You know, right. Your Patriots, your Steelers, even the Packers were fairly spread out. A team that doesn't really have a whole lot of obvious needs because they're a good, well-rounded team, they don't usually have one specific position that people key in on. And the Steelers are generally that way. But the big one that's getting drafted to the Steelers is linebacker and quarterback.
Quarterback.
So, yes.
Let's talk about it.
So the most mocked player of any position for the Steelers is actually Josh Allen.
No. Doesn't surprise me, but
hey, it's by more than twice. He's been mocked 21 times to the Steelers. The next most mocked was Luke Falk, and that had to have been preseason for that.
Oh my goodness. Baker Mayfield just twice. Twice mocked to Pittsburgh. Hopefully that changes. I feel like they could be in a position to maybe nab him. I am not a Josh Allen or Luke Falk fan or Mason Rudolph, who I see all at the top there in terms of quarterbacks that Pittsburgh's drafted. Also looked at some defensive needs at pretty much every position. It seems like a linebacker to cornerback, safeties thrown in there. Offensive field, like most people feel like they're pretty set, but even a couple there, it seems.
Yeah, and it's not surprising that their offensive line isn't really viewed as that big of a need. That's been a strength for the Steelers for a little while. But like you said, the defense, I feel like we're probably going to get nothing but linebackers for the next 3 or 4 weeks for the Steelers. I feel like there's always that overreaction period when anything happens and a player goes down injured or something like that happens. And with that injury to Shazier, there's going to be an overreaction to that on the mock front.
Right.
It might end up being the most mocked position by the time the draft rolls around, too, just because of that.
Right. And because of that, and also probably because I think it may have been a need on people's radar anyway to see, Lawrence Timmons leaves and Vince Williams comes in. And Williams has done a solid job, but then certainly it could be upgraded. And there's not that many needs on the Steelers either. So, man, this is – I feel like I could ask you a million questions. Like, I could ask you, who are the top guys getting mocked to the Lions? And so – Kent, if you don't mind, we're going to have you on again before the draft, at least once, maybe twice. We'll see what we can do, what we can squeeze in, because I find this really fascinating. I know you're going to keep updating it. When you first sent it to me, I looked at it right away, and I was just like pouring over it, and then you've added a bunch of mocks even since that point that have changed some of the results that I saw. So this is really, really cool stuff, really intriguing project. I'm glad that you're doing it, but I'm also glad that you've shared it with us today. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast just to talk about this for a little bit.
Thanks for having me, man. It's been a blast.
Absolutely. Kent Lee Platy, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow him on Twitter at MathBomb. He does these relative athletic scores that are awesome for every prospect, and he puts out these cool charts, and you can check them out and see where prospects fall in terms of his analytical eye and the data that he's kept track of for years. And he is a must follow around draft time and really throughout the entire year, especially if you're a Lions fan. There's really good stuff on them as well. At MathBomb on Twitter, make sure you give Kent Lee Platy a follow and check out his work. It's really good stuff. Trevor and I will be back early next week. We've got a lot to talk about in terms of the rookie front and what that looks like across the NFL landscape, but also we're going to start previewing bowl games because it isn't too early to do it. We've got a lot of prospects to talk about. We're both watching some prospects right now, pouring over some tape, and gonna have some takes for you guys, especially keep looking at the Senior Bowl guys as well, and as well as keep burying NFL teams that see their seasons unofficially come to an end after this week of Sunday NFL games, and talk about what their draft needs could be and where they could be focused on this offseason. So as always, make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.